Good morning. Greetings in the name of our Savior as we gather to worship God on this, the Lord's Day. You know, we pray that you will be blessed as we worship God, as He is worshiped, as He is worthy of worship, and that the Word of God will bless you. The fellowship of God's people will minister to you. So welcome. We have some visitors. We have the Moons, and I want to embarrass you. Go to a Baptist church, you're used to being embarrassed publicly, right? Unku and Kathy are here with their children. It's good to have you here. And we have other visitors. We welcome you. There will be two baptisms this morning. We want to welcome those families. The main purpose for our being here is to worship God as the Lord has commanded us. We've set aside the Sabbath day to praise Him corporately and worship Him as God's people. A few announcements. So we have these lovely flowers here, and they are here in memory of Charles Scott, who 5 years ago yesterday went to be with the Lord. And they're a glorious reminder of the beauty and the blessing of heaven. So we look at the beauty of those flowers. And so remember Charles and praise the Lord for the promise that we have to be together with those we love in heaven, who die in the Lord. Tonight we have our every other month missionary service. And Jim and Deb Perry will be with us. They're actually here this morning. John's sister and brother-in-law. And they're going to speak to us about Romanian Christian enterprises. And so come on out tonight at 6:30 to hear about this missionary work in Romania. You know, Eastern Europe. Tremendous opportunities opened up in Eastern Europe when the Berlin Wall went down and communism lost its grip, and it'll be exciting to hear about that. So come on out at 6:30. There's no food or snack or any information like that at this point. You can bring a plate. Yeah, bring a plate to share of snacks or goodies if you'd like. We'd appreciate that. The Bennett's picnic is coming up, so there's a sign-up sheet, and it says, bring modest swimwear. So I'd like to emphasize that. We did that study on modesty, if you remember, and we would appreciate that the parents would monitor that with their children. The youth, there's an announcement concerning the youth. Peter emailed me. He's not here today, but he's going to be here on the 12th. But before that, he wanted to have me announce that he would like to have a laser tag night at Planet Trog. And some of you know where that is, up on MacArthur Road. And this would be on the 18th. The Bennett's picnic is the 19th, because he had thought of 18th or 19th. And I told him the picnic was the 19th. So he thought, well, let's go with the 18th. And we need to get a sign-up sheet, Carolyn, for that, perhaps for next week. And that way we'll know if it's something we're able. He'd like to do one more thing before he goes to St. Louis and begins his studies at Covenant Seminary. And so remember that. I believe that's all the announcements, and unless I'm missing something. It's good to be back from vacation. And it's always good to reconnect. I always feel sort of disconnected that first week back till I see God's people. And so it's good to be back. Let's stand together. We will sing two songs which will put us in that spirit of worship. Be still and know. I Scriptures and the message are going to be emphasizing forgiveness, reconciliation, what God has done for us, and how we should respond. I wanted to call us to worship with these passages from Romans 5, which deal in a way with this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us with this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And let us do just that. Let us rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ as we sing together hymn number 305. In the hymnal. You need to use the hymnal.
Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. Before the throne, my surety stands. Up.
together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we sing of the reconciliation that we have with you through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take comfort in the words we have sung that say, forgive us. And the response coming from you as the Lord Jesus Christ pleads for us is to forgive us. And we daily need forgiveness. We thank you, Father, that we can experience that as we continue to come to the cross. As we worship you today, we pray, Father, that you might teach us more about what it means to be forgiven and how that should impact our relationship with you and our relationship with one another and the world at large. Lord, we pray as we witness baptisms this morning that we might take comfort from the promises that are thereby shown. And we pray, Father, as we gather together, we may encourage one another. But most of all, we pray, Father, that our worship of you would please you. Lord, have mercy on us. Speak to each one here. Minister to them according to the need of each individual. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, Bob will be reading for us our Old Testament scripture lesson. Open your Bibles to Hosea 1, and he will be reading through chapter 2:1 and then chapter 3.
The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand of the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to the people, your brothers, my people, and your sisters, my loved one. And turning to chapter 3, the Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley, that I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterwards, the Israelites will turn and seek their Lord, the Lord their God, and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days.
Next time you won't be so anxious to jump at reading the scriptures, Bob. But think about these names and how when you see them, the elders ought to draw straws. Some difficult names in there. At the wedding yesterday, they sang that old song, Papa Umamau, and would prepare you to say some of these names. But a good job sprung on you late, Bob, and we appreciate the reading of God's word. A very, very moving and challenging story of Hosea and what he has done. And we'll be thinking about that as we look at the passage in the New Testament concerning forgiveness. One of the things we do every Lord's Day is take the opportunity to read God's law and then confess our sins, to take time before the Lord. So we're going to sing together a song of confession at this time, remaining seated, hymn number 334. No hymnal? Oh, I'm sorry. No hymnal. Okay. This is a different tune.
Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. We'll rise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come, ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty.
Briefly in a silent confession. Our Father, as we have heard from Hosea, we are humbled. We would ask, would I do what he did? Would I forgive someone who has sinned so greatly against me? We might say, well, it was commanded by him as a parable to the nation of Israel. It doesn't apply to my personal life, and yet we are told that we are to forgive those who sin against us. And this is just a picture of how much you have forgiven us. So, Father, show us our sin that we might confess it this morning, and realize that if we will hide our sin, we will experience your discipline and even your wrath if we will not repent. But if we would but confess, you graciously forgive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to in unison confess our sin. I'm using this simply because of my sermon. This is from the Reformed Episcopal Prayer Book from the seminary that I went to, and a historic, rather ancient expression of confession of sin, but I think it's fitting. Let's together, in unison, confess our sin to the Lord. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone the things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no help in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare us, O God, who confess our faults. Restore those who are penitent, O Lord, according to your promises declared to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. We sometimes wonder how often God has to tell us, I have forgiven you. We go and we confess our sins to him. But we also daily sin and need to continue to come and ask his forgiveness. So let me read to you an assurance of pardon from God's word. So we're here, you may have had a bad week. You may have sinned in such a way that you never thought you would. You're here today and you're confessing to the Lord. Will he forgive? Hear his words. The Lord's merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. May God give each of us that renewed comfort and assurance of his forgiveness through Christ. We're going to sing a medley of songs thanking God for the reality of his forgiveness.
Thank you.
As we prepare to give our offerings to the Lord, hear the words of our Lord from Luke 6. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let us worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. This time Bob will read our New Testament lesson. It is Luke 7, starting at verse 36 to the end of the chapter.
Luke 7, 36 through 50. Story about Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."